Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to IMC's conference call to discuss the third quarter 2011 results. The presentation is available for download at the company's website, www.internationalmealcompany.com/ir. We would like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star then zero. Forward-looking statements are subject to known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of future developments. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Javier Gavilán, CEO. Mr. Javier, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to IMC's results conference call for the third quarter of 2011. First of all, we would like to thank you for joining us today. During the following presentation, we will review the highlights of this quarter, which we believe show a good performance of the company, even in the context of local macroeconomic slowdown. At the end of this presentation, we'll be happy to answer your questions. On the slide to highlight third quarter 2011, this quarter, we recorded an improvement in our financial performance indicators, not only over the same period last year, but also over the first half of 2011. The main period highlights were as follows. We closed September 30th with 257 stores, which is 55 stores more than a year ago. Net revenue reached 228 million, growing by 21.1% over the third quarter of 2010, an improvement over the year-on-year growth of 18.7% recorded in the first half. Same-store sales posted growth of 7.3%, led mainly by airports and the road segments. Our adjusted EBITDA totaled 33 million, 22.6% up on the same period in 2010, also posting an improvement over year-on-year growth in the first six months, which was 20.2%. Our net income came to 6.8 million, which with a net margin of 3% versus the negative figures in the same quarter last year and 0.9% in the second quarter of 2011. We also would like to highlight our progress in Colombia, where we started this quarter and we already operate in-flight catering operations in 14 stores in five different airports. In addition, we started operating the in-flight catering service at the airport in Viracopos, Campinas, through the acquisition of Servicom announced last July. Finally, I would like to inform you that in October 27th, IMC Board of Directors approved a share buyback program. As detailed in the following slides, the initiative was triggered by our shares trading at prices that we believe are incomparable with our growth and profitability indicators, and even less so if we compare it with our performance to the other retail consumption companies in the Brazilian and foreign markets. In the next slide, growth in stores. We closed the third quarter with 55 stores over last year. The upturn was concentrated in the airports with 50 new stores, fueled by the inaugurations in the Panama and Colombian airports. In the third quarter alone, we opened 21 stores, 14 of which are in the Colombian airports. In addition to entering the in-flight catering business in Colombia, we also acquired the in-flight catering operations in Viracopos, consolidating our presence in São Paulo main airport and expanding our service coverage to some of our main clients like TAM, Azul, and others. In the next slide, revenues and same-store sales. Third quarter net revenue grew by 21.1% over the same period last year to $227.9 million, while year-to-date net revenue came to $647.2 million, which is 18.7% up on the first 9 months of 2010. Year-on-year growth accelerated over the first half, when we recorded an upturn of 17.5%, thanks to the good performance of the stores opened in recent months, which continue to mature within our expectations, and the 19.4% year-on-year increase in the third quarter store area. In terms of growth per segments, the airports were 9.2% and the roads were 7.7%, continue to lead the same-store sales growth rankings in the company. In the first 9 months of 2011, same-store sales growth stand up to 8.4% versus 2010. Airports and road segments joint share of total revenue increased from 67.1% in third quarter 2010 to 70.8% in third quarter 2011. On the next slides, which is gross profit and gross margin. With our normalization of food sales in the Caribbean, the gross margin recovered, closing the gap with previous year. 3.3 percentage points in the first quarter 2011 to 1 percentage point in this quarter. Year to date, it reached 29.8% versus 31.3% of the same period 2010. The third quarter 2011 gross margin is at 30.7%, 1 percentage point below than third quarter 2010, but we continue to improve over the beginning of the year. We can also see that the food cost, fuel cost of 42.3% of this quarter was more than a percentage point less than the same period last year, basically due to the improved and a fantastic job on the food cost management controls and reduce upward pressure on the food commodity prices. The negative impact on the gross margin this quarter was a result of higher labor costs, which stood by 22.9% due to the increase in the minimum wage in Brazil, which had a 1 percentage point impact, and increased depreciation related to the new openings, which are still in their initial revenue maturity curve. On the next slide, adjusted EBITDA. Operating expenses before non-recurring items remained virtually flat over third quarter 2010 and second quarter 2011 at 23.4%. SG&A expenses fell by a substantial 2.6 percentage points, partially offset by the reduction of other income. As a result, adjusted EBITDA grew by 22.6% to $33 million, and the margin improved by 0.2 percentage points to 14.5% in the quarter and by 0.3 percentage points to 13.9% in the first 9 months. The 1.4 million adjustments to the third quarter EBITDA were mainly related to charges arising from acquisitions and openings of new markets like Colombia and Panama. On the next slide, net profit. Slide 7 shows the reconciliation of the adjusted EBITDA and net income. As we have already mentioned, non-recurring items total 1.4 million this quarter. On the other hand, thanks to the improvement in capital structure, financial expenses fell substantially from $10.8 million in third quarter 2010 to only $2.3 million this quarter. Income and social contribution taxes totaled $6.2 million in third quarter 2011 versus $3.6 million in the same period last year. The income tax rate was 6.2%, and the cash taxes paid amounted to only 0.8 million reais due to the use of the tax benefits on the goodwill from the acquisitions that were recognizing in our balance sheet. As a result, IMC continued to record an improvement in its bottom line, which totaled $6.8 million this quarter, with a net margin of 3% above the 0.9% posted in the previous 3 months, and substantially better than the negative results of last year. On the next slide, cash flow. Operational cash flow year-to-date reached $46.5 million. The main use of the funds during the period relates to the debt servicing and expansion investments. Debt servicing total $33.1 million in interest payments. Such interest payments will continue to fall significantly due to the 120 million reais down payment on bank debt. We invested $28.3 million in third quarter 2011 in the opening of new stores, the remodeling of existing stores, and the acquisition of the in-flight catering operations in Viracopos and in Colombia. Year-to-date investments total 111.7 million reais. These investments were financed with cash from operations and IPO inflows, which net of debt prepayments total 133.4 in the 9 months of 2011. The net debt at the end of the third quarter totaled 67.9 million, or 0.5 times EBITDA of the last 12 months. On the final remarks, I would like just to share with you some thoughts. IMC continues to record robust growth with its top line and its margins, recovering from the unbalanced revenue mix from fuel sales at the beginning of the year. We also demonstrated greater resilience than the retailer market average in the impact of the international crisis and the deterioration in Brazil economic indicators, especially inflation and interest rates. Thanks to our low average ticket, the fact that there is no need for credit in our sales, and a continuing increase in the purchasing power of the Brazilian middle class, which is our target and is mainly our consumers. International growth remains strong and will continue to do so in the next months, mainly due to our rapid expansion in Colombia and Panama. We also believe that the price of our shares does not fully reflect our performance indicators and the results presented here. I want to thank you very much, and we will now be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
We will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial star, then one. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing star, then two. Again, if you have a question, you may press star, then one. Once again, press star, then one if you have a question. The first question comes from Nitin Saigal of Bridger. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Can you talk, give us a little more breakdown on the comps, maybe for roads and airports specifically? If you can talk about how much is volume, how much is price increase, and how much is ticket increase or price mix?
Yeah, as far as the quarter, hi, this is Julio. As far as in the quarter, we did have some slight price increase in the level around 3% at the beginning of the quarter. It was in general across all lines, but there was some. Most of this is related to volume increase.
Is that across all segments, mostly volume increases?
Yes.
Sorry, is that right? Volume increase is the main contributor?
Correct.
Okay. And so, but going forward, given that if you implement the pricing increase and it's going to roll out, is that going to have incremental positive effect going forward, or was it already in place for the whole quarter?
It was pretty much in place for the whole quarter. Whatever the price increases we had were early on in July.
Okay. So I guess what I'm trying to understand is if your comps are overall 7%, is it fair to say 3% price, 4% volume?
Well, the 3% wasn't a general across every product or throughout the system. So it was, in general, it would be less than that.
It would be a proxy of about 80-20, 20% price and 20% price and 80% growth.
80% volume. And within the growth, is there a way to know how much is truly just more tickets and more traffic versus average ticket size increases, people buying, a burger and a Coke instead of just a burger, something like that?
In the case of the airports, and Julio can elaborate a little bit more into that, airports had a fantastic quarter of airport passenger flow. To give you, Congonhas had close to 15% of additional passenger flow. So airports is clearly basically more amount of travelers in the airport. I think in Frango there have been some marketing ideas to have a higher ticket average with the store, and I think that has worked well. And in the case of Vienna, basically is traffic flow, and as you know, Vienna is a bit more sensitive on price increases, so we've been very careful to make sure that the customer doesn't see that as an increase.
Gotcha. And why aren't you focusing? It looks like both on comps and on you're not really rolling out any new Vienna stores. The returns in the segments are generally comparable. Is that just management bandwidth, or are you seeing more opportunities on Frango and in the airports business in terms of, because it feels like malls in Brazil are still growing and there's still opportunity for Vienna, but both on a comps basis and on a unit basis, it's not really moving that much.
Well, from the, you're right on your perception. Obviously, airports and highways have a better returns, and your clientele is a lot more captive. In the shopping malls, and we talked to some of the shopping malls here in Brazil, we grew more than other retail stores in the shopping malls. Also, if you compare it, for example, here in Sao Paulo, before last year, you had three shopping malls, which was Iguatemi and Morumbi, and now there's Villa Olimpia that opened last year, and now there's another shopping mall opening in less than a mile of those other three shopping malls. So in a way, you're having in Sao Paulo, maybe the word is not cannibalized, but you have more shopping centers, and obviously that the growth of those particular shopping centers are not as strong as airports and highways.
Okay, understood. My next question is on cost. If I look at your cost items as a percentage of your revenue, so year over year, labor is a higher percentage, so that makes sense given what we've seen in the labor market. Food and fuel and G&A are both down, so you got some margin leverage there. Could you give us a sense of how you see that going forward? Is that what we should expect? Is labor eats into a little bit on the margin side, but you get it on food, fuel, and G&A?
Yeah, going forward, we continue to see improvements in food costs and fuel costs. The only pressure that we're seeing in the near future is in the direct labor, specifically here in Brazil, because internationally we don't see that labor pressures.
Okay. Then my last question was, I looked at the segment results in your financials, the Portuguese financials, and I was just trying to get to a sort of segment EBITDA number for roads, airports, and malls. And it looks like roads EBITDA margins and operating income margins was down year over year. Airports expanded a bit. Malls came in a bit. And you really got some leverage from the other segment. So I guess what I don't understand is what's happening on roads specifically that it's seeing a little bit of a margin compression. Is that something to do with sort of product mix or something else? And what happened in the other segment? Is that just kind of noise, or are these margin expansions sustainable?
No, what we're seeing is the we opened a lot versus last year. We opened a lot of the Frangos in the fourth quarter, and the recovery of the EBITDA. You know, we see a 24-month period in where a store becomes mature. So we're just starting to see those Frangos Asado, which were opened at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, you know, getting to the maturity curve. So that's where we see the pressure there. Going forward, when these stores get fully mature, then we'll get back to the normal numbers.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I had. So thanks a lot for taking the time, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Rosie Bichar of Newton Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Morning, everybody. How are you?
How are you, Rosie?
Hi, Rosie.
Great. Thanks. Hi. I'm sorry I missed the very first part of the call, so I apologize if I'm asking you to repeat something you've already just talked about, but I just wanted to ask you on the airport segment. I understood that while the Brazilian segment was doing very well, and obviously you've got new opportunities in Colombia, you had some pressure in Puerto Rico, and given a slowdown in traffic there. And I wondered whether you could just talk about what you've been doing there to try and offset that.
Yes. The quarter for the Brazilian airports has been outstanding. Growth on Brazilian airports has been pretty much the amount of growth that we have in passenger flow. Basically, in Puerto Rico, as I mentioned to you, passenger flow there is 30% lower. One of the things that we're trying to negotiate with the authorities is to get two airlines, Iberia and British Airways, and other international flights to use that terminal. And in the other side, we're also trying to get some additional hospitals to get our catering business to the amount of flow that it had last year. I think in Puerto Rico, there's not going to be major changes from here to December. As you know, the Puerto Rican airport is in the process of being privatized. So I think the good thing, I think, for 2012, once the privatization is over, I think that terminal is ready to feed additional flights, and we shall see something happening probably by the end of first quarter 2012, in my opinion. From the perspective of the airports of Brazil, I think we're in very good shape. Guarulhos and Congonhas did very good. In the case of Guarulhos, we did 23.3% higher than last year on sales, with a 15.2% of passenger growth. So I think Brazilian airports are continuing to do very good. High seasoning is beginning now, so we should see a very good fourth quarter on airports. And for Puerto Rico, my vision is that we'll continue the same trend for the rest of the year.
Great. And is there anything more that you've learned and you're able to say publicly about the process of privatization of Infraero, or rather the three airports under Infraero?
Well, we've been very monitoring very closely. I had a few meetings with some Infraero executives, and they are in the process. What we last understood is that this is going to be delayed till next year.
Mm-hmm.
We are working towards, as you know, some regulation that came out with Infraero. And one of the things that I would like to point out on this thing is, one, we have not had till now any negative impact because of the whole situation with Infraero, and we are taking the right measurements and the right actions in order to come to a good conclusion for IMC towards everything that is going on with Infraero right now. I can't say much because this is just being on you know, we're discussing this as we speak, but I feel that we're going in the right track.
Great, thank you. That's fine. And I just had one other question, which was really about your share buyback that you've announced. How do you balance the obvious issue of the relative lack of liquidity in the shares currently versus the your willingness to support the share price through the share buyback?
Rosie, this is Gonzalo. Sorry, the line was a bit noisy. Can you say that again, please?
Yes, I'm just curious to understand how you are approaching the share buyback plan, given the relative lack of liquidity of the shares at the moment. Why did you take the decision to potentially reduce that further? I do understand your willingness and wish to drive the share price higher here.
Okay, Rosie. First of all, the maximum number of shares that we can buy under this buyback program is 10% of the total flow. Given that our flow is 40% of the total shares outstanding, buying back, in the eventual case that we buy back the complete total 10% of the float, that would mean that our total float would come down to something around 36%. So we believe that will not really affect that much the trading volume. What we do believe is that the current share price does not reflect all what we are seeing now, all the performance indicators, the growth indicators, the margins, the trading comps comparable to other retail companies. So we believe that the benefits of declaring this buyback program are much larger than the cost that we may have in terms of the reduction of the float. And the buyback program doesn't mean that we're going to be actually buying the whole thing. It's more a signaling to the market that our share is a good investment, and that's what we basically are talking about.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Oriana Bassanelli of Kairos. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, all my questions have been answered already. Just a curiosity, can you specify how much did you buy in the share buyback program so far that I support, as you know, very much?
Okay, Oriana, we didn't buy anything yet.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Next question comes from Barbara Miller of Federated Investors. Please go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Good morning. I just have two questions. One is on the other expenses / revenue in the P&L. There's been a drop both in the quarter and year to date. Can you talk about the drivers there and what we should expect going forward?
Yeah, Barbara, that's just mainly timing. Last year in this quarter, we had a major vendor in where we had some benefits from that. We're seeing that pick up a little bit towards the end, but it's just timing. We should see our year-over-year numbers comparable.
Timing of promotional discounts from vendors? Can you just be a little more specific about?
Yeah, some of the promotional discounts marketing rebates and things like that were negotiated last year in the third quarter versus not being. This year, those are agreements that may, you know, go from 2 to 3 years, and if they're, you know, if they're not, if we don't get a similar contract this year in the same quarter, there may be a little bit of timing issue there.
Yeah. Also, Barbara, to elaborate on that, this quarter, this last quarter is where we are with our chief developing officer. That's where we are negotiating with suppliers, and we should see some of that coming in fourth quarter 2011.
I mean, do they tend to react to inflation on their end and pull back on deals, or conversely, does it tend to be volume driven? As you get larger, you get better deals. How does that work?
It depends. You have more inflation related in Brazil. We're looking to close a good thing, some couple of good contracts in the new markets that we are opening. So they are less worried about inflation in those markets. So it's a mix depending on the supplier. But the ones that I think that are going to be good are the ones that we're negotiating for Colombia and Panama.
Okay. And then on your store openings, specifically for the roads, what are you expecting to see in the fourth quarter, and have you talked and into next year, how much have you secured as far as new Frango Asado stores?
Well, on the what we have projected for fourth quarter is what we're going to do on openings. So that's there's no changes there. I think we're opening another two Frango Asados.
Yeah, we opened one early in the fourth quarter, and the other three to get us to the 24 mark, which is what our target was, will be opened during the last week of November, early December.
And then as for your question for 2012, we are one of the good things we're doing this year, because also, if you recall, last year we were right in the process of the IPO. We are preparing all of our 2012 business plan and organic growth now. So we are accelerating that in order to be ready for the beginning of 2011, not only in Frango, but also in the airports and also with Vienna.
Do you see a similar pace of openings, or is it too early to talk about it?
But now that you ask, we feel at least a similar amount of openings. And Gonzalo is telling me not to talk anymore.
Okay. All right, well, we'll look forward to hearing more about that.
Sure, we'll give you the details if you want after the call.
Thank you.
Bye.
Once again, if you have a question, you may press star, then one, on a touch-tone phone. Since there seems to be no further questions, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Javier Gavilan for his final remarks.
Well, again, thank you for participating. We'd like just to reiterate our enthusiasm for the project and our continued commitment to build the leading company of this sector in Latin America. Thank you.
This concludes IMC's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a good day.